The new Connect FM.
How exciting. We've got our state comptroller, Judy Bartopinka, on the phone today. Hey, Judy, how are you?
I am just fine. Everything working well. I'm glad that the legislature has gone home because that means we're all safe for a while.
Well, speaking of the General Assembly, they are adjourned for the summer. Let's talk about the good and the bad on what's been done with spending. What's the good?
Well, you know, one of the things that was really kind of unique after a long period of abeyance is that we actually saw Republicans and Democrats working together for the good of the order and trying to come up with some common objectives. And I hope that they feel comfortable with that and wish to persist, because up to now, you know, it's been pretty polarized. They've been bumping each other and gridlock, and it just was not moving forward. So that was very helpful. They finally came to some mutually acceptable ideals. But, you know, they're still going to have to work on things like pensions and Medicaid and making sure that they hold spending down, because that's the key to all of this. It's just you have got to stop spending more than you're taking in.
Yeah, you know, the GOP senators are saying that this budget that was passed is actually an increase, not a cut. What is your take on that?
I thought that there were some cuts in terms of the budget, first of all, is $2 billion less than what the governor asked for.
Mm-hmm.
So it is probably one of the lowest budgets I remember from my time in the legislature. I think that's a good thing. I'm really unhappy, like all other people are unhappy, that you know a lot of programs got cut or you know they got pulled back, like education and you know, Medicaid, those are two big programs and things of that sort, a lot of social service programs. But at the same time, if they spend more than they take in, I, as the chief fiscal officer, as the controller, can't catch up on the 180,000 some bills we have to pay as of December of last year. We are now paying bills from December of last year. And, of course, if they spend more, and if the economy doesn't improve, it makes our trying to catch up almost impossible.
Yeah, and you've led me right into the bad of the spending bill because of all the unpaid bills that you say are going to be. It's going to be slow going to get that money out.
Oh, it really is. And I mean, like what we have tried to do, like last week we did what we called a sweep. So every bill that we had out there that was $1,000 or less, we tried to pay so that the most number of people could be accommodated. But that still leaves a lot of the, you know, the big items to hospitals and nursing homes and education. And you know, these are multi-million dollars worth of bills that we have to pay. And, you know, as much as I would love to pay them, I know I had the mayor of Chicago stopping around yesterday that we owe him $300 million, and he wants it now. Well, okay, now is fine. I'd love to pay it now, but I don't have it now. So it cannot come now. So we paid $100 million to them within the month, last month. So, you know, it's not as though they're not getting anything. One of the things I would like to do is to at least be able to split these bills and pay a partial payment with some kind of predictability.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Our computers are so old and our programs are so old. They go back to 1996. We cannot split the bills. So, you know, I can pay individual vouchers, but I cannot take a big bill like, let's say, a $300 million bill to the Chicago Public Schools and maybe pay $100 million or $150 million of that bill and maybe the following month pick up the other part of it, because we just don't have the equipment. It was never upgraded. And a lot of this office was just kind of on cruise control, and I appreciate the fact, you know, that they didn't want to raise costs, but you have to keep up to date. You have to keep your infrastructure up. I mean, it is an office that is still paper driven in an age when we're digitalized.
Yeah.
So, you know, I am a swarm in paper and filing cabinets and boxes of paper when the filing cabinets are full. And it just leads us into the potential of losing records and of getting them misfiled or in general, having them destroyed. Should we wind up with a tornado or a hurricane or something like that with no backup? So So those things have to be put into order before we can really go forward. So we're taking a portion of our budget, not increasing our budget, in putting it into these things which are hardly worthy of photo ops. I mean, you're not going to really make programs around them. They're not going to make headlines because they're really bread and butter pork chop type issues. So let's just get it done.
It's a bit unsettling to know that that our chief fiscal officer is running off a Commodore, for heaven's sakes. What the heck?
Well, not only that, I mean, they're using programs that they don't even teach in high school. For instance, we're still using a program called Cobalt, and that goes back, I think, 25, 30 years. As I said, they don't even teach it in school. So now how do you find people, if you hire them or have them, who know how to run it? And you know, then the other problem exists that we have agencies that also have some of these old-fashioned computers and programs. So if we upgrade, we're going to have to upgrade straight through the whole state and come up with a system here so that everybody is talking together and making communication and getting the job done at 21st century levels. Again, it doesn't sound exciting. It's just like municipalities when they have to fix sewers. You know, they put it off, they put it off, they put it off, because you can't cut a ribbon when you're fixing a sewer. It has to get done because it's a basic thing. And that's what we have to do.
I'll tell you one thing, though. I lived in a house once where I had to replace the sewage system, and with the amount of money that I had to spend to do that, I cut a ribbon.
From a news standpoint and coming out of journalism, it's just not the stuff of headlines.
Right, right.
There's more exciting, more glamorous things. I mean, you know, if we're going to fix workman's comp or we're going to talk about pensions or something like that, these are more exciting to the public at large.
What about taxes, speaking of exciting? You know, because the taxes were, you know, we had a pretty big increase this year to help everybody keep up with the bills. What's your hunch? Because it was sold to us as temporary. You think that it'll be temporary or permanent?
Well, if there is further spending and, you know, if the governor has his way for borrowing, which so far has been stopped, it will actually underpin the need to keep that tax increase in place. Otherwise, it theoretically can be gotten rid of at the end of 5 years, which is, I hope that we can do that, because that was a 67% tax increase. Mm-hmm. It was the biggest in the state's history. And I think most people assumed that money was going to go to pay down past bills. And actually, not a lick of it comes to pay down past bills, because it was all put toward pension payments, and it was all put toward Medicaid payments. So there really wasn't much left after that got done to do anything else. It's really kind of sad that when we talk about the Blagojevich years, because that trial is ongoing and all that goofiness is going on, that's when we really see on the graph the peaks of all of the problems really get into high gear. I mean, we're going to be paying for that man's operation for many years to come.
But honestly, when it comes to not putting money into the pension system, that's been going on for years and years and years.
Well, yeah, because it's an easy thing to put off. You know, that is somewhere out there as opposed to immediate needs. And so when the state took a little holiday here from putting money into the pension system, and then we had Blagojevich come and actually skim off the system and take money out of it as if it were an ATM, and you know, now instead of it being underfunded, it became radically underfunded. So we do have to do some things with the pensions. I guess that's not, you know, since it didn't really move in the legislature, that will probably come up in the veto session or in spring. But more has to be done, because there is a very strong constitutional argument that can be made that the state has a contract here with current employees and must go forward as is. So we'll see where everybody comes to the table now, because if we don't make some changes in the pension system, you know, it'll just belly up. We won't have enough. One of the things we did, we put a bill in that said basically one size does not fit all. Why don't we give people a choice on their pension systems? Leave it as is, but pay a little bit more. Or, you know, if you want to go into a defined benefit situation where you pay a little bit less, but now you're going to have the state not pay as much, or you're going to have a 401k type of an idea where you, as a pensioner, make your own investments, or a combination of all of them where you could get a hybrid. So it's doable. That's mm-hmm. doable. And I would hope that the legislature would consider the idea of choices so that we don't do this you know, hammer type way of meat axe type cutting, mm-hmm. Because really, you know, state employees, by and large, don't make that much as right. far as pensions go.
Okay.
They're fair, and they earn them. And frankly, state employees have been paying their share right along. So do we penalize them and punish them for what they did, the right thing, when the state decided that they were going to pull the pins out from underneath them? Mm-hmm. That's not fair.
93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM.